Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
If you wrap foil around that, just like the little bit of the base part of the banana where the fruit is, wrap foil around that top and they will last longer.
You know, I'm something of a scientist myself.
Who needs your bananas to last longer, though?
Look, I don't want to go to the store every other day for bananas.
They're 8 cents each.
What the hell are you talking about? What is going on?
You're going to wrap them in foil?
They're better when they're just a little green. Yeah.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Too much work.
Not that much trouble, Rich.
Too much work.
Says the guy got a spreadsheet with 3,000 fantasy teams.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Every other day, this man goes to the store for bananas without the foil technique. Every other day. That's how badly he wants bananas and how fast his family goes through them. I don't want to have to go to the store every other day for bananas. Would you buy other things?
No, I want to
just bananas.
I want to go to the store on Sunday and get an assortment of fruits that I will eat during the week after I work out. Bananas among them. I use them for protein shakes primarily.
Yep.
I do not just eat. I mean, they're fine to just eat, but I you know. And I like them when they're a little green. So, yeah, that's it. I mean, I stand by every word of that.
Did I tell you how when my wife makes the shopping list, it'll say, well, I made this mistake once, and I think I won't make it again. Bananas-2. And so the first time I saw that, I went home with two bunches of bananas. She's like, no.
You just wanted two bananas.
She wanted two bananas. Four of us.
What kind of psycho buys two bananas? I've never bought two bananas.
Who would do it? Who would?
Yeah, I don't know.
They're so cheap.
They're very rarely in. Two's not even a bunch.
It's totally not a bunch. They're one of the best. It's two. It's a couple. It's a duo.
It's a duo of
bananas. One of the best deals in sports is bananas. You can get a lot out of them, and they're just like next to nothing. Cost-wise. Anyway.
I just like to keep them as fresh as I can for as long as I can.
Got
to
just
extend that shelf life.
Revisit that topic whenever possible. Well, I was not here yesterday. I had a friend congratulate me for not having to work yesterday because of the preseason, the debacle.
Yeah.
But it couldn't have been that taken that seriously, right? Or was it Sunday?
I don't know. I mean, we taught. Nate was here, Nate Geary, and he was hot about safety, and I think safety is right now like the thing. So, I mean, the result, who cares? I mean, I don't know. We didn't take a ton of phone calls.
Well, preseason pledge
refers
to players, right? So if a player, good or bad, does something extreme, the mm-hmm. WGR Morning Show's own preseason pledge.
Yeah.
Tells you don't take it too seriously or seriously at all. Does the same principle apply for the whole team? Because really there was nothing in this game that stood out as good.
That's correct. That's how I would view it.
You would like for there have to been one thing.
Something. Yeah.
That was good.
Like even if they lose 38 to nothing, or maybe 31 to nothing, because one of the safeties makes the right play on the first touchdown, you could go, well, did you see Bishop stay with that guy off the line of scrimmage and bat that pass down? That's a good sign. And then he sits down after that because that was his, you know, rep total for the game. Instead, he gets roasted and Hamlin takes that terrible angle and it's a touchdown and you're thinking, you know, I'm thinking of Sean McDermott earlier in the week, you know, putting Bishop kind of on notice. Kind of doubled down. He absolutely doubled down on that today. We don't know who's going to play next to Taylor Rapp, is what he's saying today. You know, this is a team with Super Bowl aspirations. I don't think safety makes or breaks them. They got by last year with, you know, Damar Hamlin. Like what? What is that? Like just he was okay. He was maybe fine. But there was no impact plays. There was nothing that really helped you. What you hoped is that it wouldn't hurt you, mostly. And if you want to be better than that, then you're going to need somebody else to do that job. And I don't know. Right now, I think if Jordan Hancock hadn't gotten hurt when he got hurt in this game, he'd be getting talked about legitimately. He already is, even without practicing today and maybe not playing on Saturday in Tampa. I bet a lot of Bills fans are hoping to see him on the field again soon because he maybe has looked the best of the people who have played in that spot this year.
Yeah, and think about that.
As a fifth-round rookie.
Makes or breaks. It is 180 degrees or almost 180 degrees away from Hyden-Poyer, from peak Hyden-Poyer.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be interesting to see what happens there, which is not saying much. But McDermott, you know, he was a safety. And if anybody writing the book on the rise to prominence, if you will, to excellence of the Bills of the last 7 years that isn't about Josh Allen or Stephon Diggs, you know, it's those two guys. Like that was like, not to be too dramatic, but sort of the soul of the whole thing. And what? Like, they were never out of position. They got slow. And when they got slower, then you were in trouble more often. But the pass rush held up, and it wasn't that often. So I wonder if he has, you know, he did put it very, very coolly today.
Yeah.
We're looking for somebody to play next to Rapp. Like, as if he's saying, we don't know who that is.
Right, we're open to ideas. Right? I don't know, they're not bringing anybody in at that position that I've seen anyway. They signed a running back and a receiver today. The running back promptly got hurt on like one of the first snaps he had at practice today. So, you know, tough for that kid. I'm assuming he's a kid, whatever. Everyone's a kid when you're 60. But yeah, I mean, they're in a weird place there for a team that had so few. I mean, how were we talking a month ago? It was like cornerback two, that's the only spot really on the roster that's debatable, that's up for grabs.
Well,
right, there's a competition, and that was presuming that Bishop would, you know, assert himself and take this job by the neck, and he just has not done that.
Yeah, I would say almost. Like, when I think about that, it's before the draft, and it's they really only have one hole in their starting lineup. That, right? Corner, the other cornerback across from Benford. And that is sort of assuming Bishop. It definitely is. But it wasn't like the Bills are like sort of all set there.
Yeah, you shouldn't have. They just weren't
in the draft market for a starter.
Right. And I don't know. I mean,
last year they were.
I like the Emmanuel idea plenty. They didn't have a look at Malachi Starks, as it turned out. He went to Baltimore a few picks before they picked. But a safety would not have blown my mind. It was, you know, I like Emmanuel because of the skill set more than what I perceived as a need. But I don't know. Having a very strong secondary didn't stop a rival of the Bills from drafting Malachi Starks, you know. So they could have done something to cushion themselves or you know, give themselves some insurance.
But they needed the corner more.
I absolutely agree.
And I think it's still more important. Like that's not to be forgotten. Like what's going on at that position. Hairston sounds more and more like the way everybody's talking that he's going to, you know, need more time. Maybe he goes on IR for the first few games. Maybe not. But I just wonder if Sean McDermott has an additional level of anxiety when it comes to safety because of, not necessarily because that was his position. I really would be a stretch to say that. But because it has been so fundamental to their success on defense. And then last year that changed and so did their defense overall. Like not only just Hyden-Poyer gave you everything you wanted. I mean, they gave you durability. They never came off the field, those two guys. We knew it. This is not one of those where we didn't appreciate, I'll say for myself and I think for you, it's not like we didn't appreciate that when it was happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, oh, before you know it, your kids are going to be grown. I know, I'm doing my best here. I stare at them. I mean, I know. I don't exactly have a countdown clock, a ticker in my house, but I know. Like, I know they're going to leave. But
oh, you should be so lucky.
that's right. Yes. But the Hyden-Poyer, the tandem, those gave you everything you wanted. They gave you leadership. They gave you durability. They gave you quality. They gave you
plays. Right.
Plays.
Yeah.
Takeaways.
Impact. Like, yeah.
Huge. You can think of games that turned on. Poyer against the Ravens. Hyde in the New England playoff game. You know, just exceptional, smart, capable guys. And so we should have known, and I think I'd say we did, that there'd be a transition there, but Now, like this year, I said already, like, and you agreed, this year they needed corner more. I would still say that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's more important. But last year was when they went into the draft for safety with Bishop. Not a first round pick, but not an insignificant pick.
A second round pick is you're expecting the guy to be a starter for you for years to come.
Especially and how soon that happens depends on who else you have. But if you're drafting him then, you probably have a need, right? And they did.
Yep.
And so now, what is it right now? Is he injured? Is he damaged? Is he just not it? Like what? I don't know what the answer is, but
maybe a little bit of all of that.
Maybe McDermott. You know, once in a while you get him in these moods, like today. And this was also last Monday. Today's Tuesday. This was last Monday off of the Giants game. I think it was Monday when he was talking you know, we need to get healthy. Like, it's time. Mm-hmm. And he had an edge to him. And he did again today, talking about safety and another topic or two, receiver even. But the safeties are, if I can, sort of the bishops of his defense, you know, like ideally, like with Hyde and Poyer, he wouldn't even necessarily have to tell them, but they had the freedom and the capacity to do everything basically without being just like a beast against the run or something. They were good enough, but they could just go, didn't have to worry about it. Never got hurt. Never missed a play.
They just had it locked down.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And what a luxury. So does this break the Bills? I wouldn't say that.
No,
it's a thing.
They won their 13 games last year and got to, you know, as close as they've gotten since 2020 to going all the way with DeMar Hamlin largely starting. I mean, Bishop started some down the stretch and played some in that Kansas City game, you know, but still, like, Hamlin was the starter with Rapp for most of the season. And that's why I said, like, I don't think it has the potential to wreck them. But if, again, what has been the object of the offseason here has been pouring resources into the defense. And no, they didn't pour resources into safety. They brought in a guy in Forrest who I think maybe people thought like, oh, well, maybe he's a sneaky starter idea. And he's invisible. He's not even in the conversation, it seems. I mean, he's still on the team. So, you know, maybe now he gets a longer look. I don't know. But they wanted to stabilize and really return their defense to being a strength of the team. Last year, they just kind of got by. They survived on takeaways. They didn't get off the field. Their third down percentage was terrible. And, you know, that eventually caught up to them. When they couldn't take the ball away from Kansas City, and they really couldn't stop them often enough at all. And so you're looking for, yeah, sure, all the stuff they've done up front is there to help the defense as well, but you're counting on Bishop as a second-round pick from last year to become, I think, an above-average starter for you. It's a lot to ask to return to the days of Hyde and Poyer in their prime, but
it is.
This is a young guy that's athletic. Like it all sort of the boxes are checked, and this is not happening. At least it didn't on Sunday. I mean, I don't know. It should be said, and I did try to say it a few times yesterday. As much as the conversation was negative, revolving around him, he just returned to practice on Friday after missing most of camp. So it's not like, you know, this has been a consistent problem. The problem has been he's consistently been missing time. And so he's just getting back up and running, and maybe that improves in the next. They got 3 weeks from Sunday is the first game, and maybe it gets better. But I don't know. We'll see what they do on Saturday. Because Bishop was the only defensive starter who played in this game, just to get him some action.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the case again on Saturday in Tampa. I don't know what they'll do, but it was, jarring is the word I want to hear McDermott say, we're trying to figure out who's going to play next to Taylor Rapp today, because there is a game that counts, in less than 3 weeks now.
Does it ever?
And it's, yeah, I mean, it is jarring to hear the head coach say, we are not sure what we're doing at one of the safety spots.
Well, you know, I was playing a little bit last week, but what did I say at one point? That's three bad games in a row for their defense. Is it four? Wouldn't it have to be? Wouldn't it have to be four? If that was three, wouldn't this be four? Could they ever stop them? I mean, it was Was that the worst Bills game you've ever seen? I had the Bears, what can I say, -2.5, a healthy wager. Just, you know, like, they're going to play their guys at home, and I'm not.
Right.
2.5? Come on. My wife did not like it. And I, when the game ended, because she reacted so negatively to my having a bet against the Bills, that I was like, oh, run it up here, just for my own sake. And 38-0, the final, you know, I texted her, and she gave me the thumbs down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what would the score have to have been to get any respect here? Like, I mean, that's a good bet if you have a team -2.5 and they win by 38. But 100-0, she would not have approved anymore.
No, I think she didn't like the bet at inception. Then she's not going to like it no matter what the score.
Because
could have been 3-0 and you won by a half point. It isn't going to matter.
But I wouldn't have bragged about it. At 3-0, I mean, like, you can't say you were right. I was right. That was one where, like, people make fun of the betting the preseason. It's easier. I think if you just sort of know who's doing what, which is not always possible, but here, holy cow. I mean, easy to say in retrospect. It was not the worst Bills game ever, because this game was the worst game. What game was the worst game? I mean, of course, it couldn't really be a preseason game.
No, a preseason game is easy enough to turn off if it's frustrating you. It's like, whatever. This isn't going to mean anything. I'm out. So I bet a lot of people even did that.
How many regular season games in their history since 1960 have the Bills lost by 38 points or more? What seems right? 55 years, whatever it is. Wait, 65 years.
I'm going to say that number is around half a dozen.
13.
Okay, well.
So it's more than you thought.
More than double what I thought.
Yeah. But it's not, it's one in every, like, 1 every 5 years or so.
Okay.
13 out of 65 years, right? That's exactly what it is. The biggest loss by point differential in Bills history is, we watched it.
I don't have it. I don't know.
New England, Sunday night.
Okay.
Undefeated New England.
56-10?
Correct. 56-10. And the second most is that Ravens opener where Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson both make their NFL debuts in relief. Peterman.
Is that 43? What is the score there?
47-3.
47-3. Okay.
So this wasn't that bad?
I mean...
No, it's a I don't know. I don't have preseason history. Maybe they've had this many preseason losses by
They lost to the Bears 33-6 last year.
33-6
last year.
This team owns them.
That was
they don't play them in the regular season.
That was a part of the tempering. The sky is falling. If anybody, I don't want to imply. No, nobody called me or Nate and myself yesterday. It sounded like the sky was falling.
That's good.
Although
I might have liked to listen to it.
Yeah, right. Well,
the last time the Bears were here, they won 38-5 or something like that. That game.
That's 40, game where
41.
Peterman ran
or to 9. I want to say
ran on the last play of the first half.
Right on a Hail Mary.
He should have thrown a Hail Mary.
He went for a jog on that one.
Right.
He got the stats. 41-9. I want to say that game. So you know we're doing what the Bills say they're doing. They're just gonna get past it.
Yeah.
Starting now. I haven't gotten past. I'm still talking about it. Soon I'll
get
past it.
Well, you did. You missed yesterday. So
yeah. I did. Here's Lee with us. Hi, Lee.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, Lee.
Yeah, I just think it's I want to call and ask you guys this because I hear all these callers calling up. I listen to the morning show and I listen to all you guys every day.
Thank you.
And it just drives me nuts that some of these Bills fans are just like, hey, we got to trade this guy for Henderson. I mean, don't they realize that the guy wants a contract extension? Number two, you got to give up assets.
They
and
might.
Number three, you got to give up. You know what I mean? It's just, it doesn't make any sense to me. Same thing with the Michael Parsons situation. That is not going to fix the safety situation.
Anybody saying those things is not saying that they're going to fix the safety situation by trading for those players. So that isn't right. And I think people probably who are saying those things, not that I've heard one person do it, but assuming you're right, are also not unaware that they'd have to trade stuff to get those guys, right? We'd know that too. It's a question of whether it's worth it, if it's even possible, right?
But you know, you're right. But it is preseason, though. I mean, you had a kick returner playing corner. I mean, right. I don't understand why people are expecting just full blown. They looked like the coach of the Bears was dialed in, and McDermott was just looking like he was just trying to get out of there healthy. Like, he was just like looking at his guys, what are the fundamentals of this position? They're rotating guys in and out. And well, it's just, yeah. I just don't buy it when people want to call up and say, you know, the sky is falling, like what you said.
I'm saying, Lee, nobody to me, I was in here for 4 hours yesterday. Nobody sounded like that to my ears on this show anyway. And I don't think I sounded that way, but there was a lot of heat about the safety position. And I think that that's been validated by the way the coach sounds today talking about it. Like, he's part of my walking off point of being worried about Bishop after Sunday's game was how McDermott sounded about it last Monday, and now here we are, you know, first time he's talking to the media after that game and after that performance, where his presumed starter at one of the safety spots is the only starter who plays on defense, and he's at the scene of the crime on missed plays numerous times in like 10 or 12 snaps or whatever he played. And then today he's basically saying we got a help wanted sign in the yard. So I don't think the sky's falling. I already said I don't think it's going to make or break them, but they have a problem at a starting spot on the field that they got to try to figure out here. And they've got draft capital invested in the guy who's supposed to do the job, and I think they have real worry about whether he can do it or not. Otherwise, he wouldn't be sounding like he sounds.
Well, I mean, on top or apart from all that, if you don't think anybody should ever think the Bills should trade for two of the most elite defensive players in the NFL, fine, that's your opinion. Of course it wouldn't be cheap if it's even possible to do it, but you couldn't think that? I wouldn't expect to, like, I'm not spending any time thinking about such an idea, because they have already done so much. They've already made so much of an effort up front, where that's where they want to make their impact, and they better get it, especially if they have holes in the secondary. So, yeah, I mean, you listen to the station maybe more than I do. I never really hear that. I'm sure it exists, and Bulldog just got done saying it didn't happen at all on this show yesterday. It hasn't happened on this show yet today, but, you know, you're referencing these sort of maybe what you think are crazy ideas. I don't know if they're crazy, but they're definitely not realistic. I wouldn't worry about it. 803-0550. Thanks, Lee. We'll look for more of your calls next. Sal joins us at 4. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
I think we're looking for that other safety to play alongside of T-Rap. There's been really good moments for all those guys back there, Young and some of the more veteran guys that are back there and have played for us. But I think we're still looking to find who is it going to be and how consistent can they become and how quickly can they grow if they're a younger player. And you're always looking to figure that other piece out. Right now for us, we know who T-Rap is. We know what he brings to the table. It's what other piece can go along with T-Rap.
Sean McDermott, Bills with questions in the secondary. With or without Maxwell Hairston for week one, we'll see. No real good sounding news on that front. But again, the, you know, obligatory headed in the right direction.
Right.
But imagine hearing headed in the wrong direction.
A ways away, though, I think was also said today. He was on the bike. I saw footage of him riding the bike. So you can't take that away from him. He had a big brace on his knee, but he was on a bike.
803-0550. Also, we're talking about the safety situation. Let's go to Bill here. Hi, Bill.
Is it a saga yet?
Hey, guys.
No.
I wanted to comment on, the comments from McDermott. You know, it just seems to me, based on what he said, that no matter who wins this job, if they're on the roster currently, it just doesn't seem like there's a lot of trust that can be put in who he actually selects to be the starting other safety. So, you know, I kind of had a little bit of an issue with him saying that, only just because what kind of confidence am I supposed to have in Hamlin or Bishop at this point, because I'm not sure what they're going to do in this last preseason game, and I'm not sure, you know, obviously we don't get a too detailed look into practice.
Mm-hmm.
So the comment, you know, kind of just put me off of both of those guys, because now I have no confidence that they're even confident in who they're going to select. So
yeah,
that was just my comment there. But I had a question that kind of came up in the office earlier about preseason scheduling. Kind of random, but is it common to play a team in the preseason that you play in the regular season?
Not especially, and I don't know enough to pontificate on how that happened or how exactly the schedule comes together. I've always thought that the teams have some say in it, but maybe not. But no, it's not common that you would play somebody like the Bills and the Buccaneers here who will see each other later on. You know, you could. It's an interesting perspective you have, Bill, on the point there you made about how they were talking, how McDermott was talking. Like, either way, I'm not going to feel good. And really, like, nothing, pretty much nothing else is going to happen before the opener that should be informative. So, you know, he's talking less than glowingly about his options. And I'm somebody that prefers that. I want the honesty. I want to know as best as possible, as much as it's possible to know what he really thinks. So I guess you have to pick one or the other. Maybe, and because this happens often enough, where a team will have an issue and they'll talk like they don't, because they don't want whatever it is they don't want. They don't want the players to be, you know, looking over their shoulder or to yep. feel like they're, you know, in trouble, or they don't want the fans to do that or the media, to, whatever it is. Like, that's just how it usually sounds. But here, I have to say, I appreciate that he's just not pretending.
Does it strike you as a departure for him at all? Because I don't have, like, him talk, you know, I don't have it memorized, you know, like, I can't recall exactly how stark he's been about, you know, different positions and battles and whether it's going to work. Like, you know, I don't remember how, you know, I know he never sounded like he loved Kyer Elam when they were trying to get that off the ground, but I don't remember it being as pointed as this. And I don't know. I'm venturing toward, like, is there some change in the dynamic there? Like, is he trying to use this in a way that he hasn't before? Like, I mean, obviously
motivation.
He can obviously go to the player, and I'm assuming he's done that the whole time he's been here. And you know, we need more from you. I need more from you. You're going to win this job. Whatever, like, you know, whatever kind of pep talk, rattle the cage type thing you want to do for motivation. So it would surprise me if he's using this news conference to send messages to the players themselves. I think
a couple of things might be true.
Okay, good.
Is it a departure? One, he really has not had that many quandaries over the years where it's really been sort of, there's a conversation, and this one is just starting, about a player or a position. So he hasn't had too many chances. You know, his team has been so good. I would say that's true. I would say, just using logic, too, he, as each year goes by and the Bills win another division title, he's got all the more reason to feel comfortable in his own skin. Like, not maybe like he would have been, or any rookie or young coach might be, where you're worried about the consequences of your words. I don't think he has to worry about that, and this might just sort of subconsciously free him up to be more honest. I think we've all said that about McDermott in different areas over the last couple of years, that he's, you know, more willing. He came on our show last year to talk about fourth down, and he's like, I don't have any secrets. I'll tell you exactly how we do it. He would not have talked like that in 2017. In fact, it was quite the opposite. So I think there's that too. And I think he might be frustrated by one particular, this is three now, this is the last one.
Fine, keep going. I love it.
By one particular issue that I think also just logically could be more of a problem than ever, as teams are more cautious with injuries, and it's decided by whatever the team of people is that come together to make these decisions, you're coming off the field. The joke about the cart, he's really not hurt, but we've got a cart. Everybody's playing it safe. Such a long summer. We've all seen the charts. Really, there's not that much value in this practices preseason like we used to think. So just quit. Anything, you feel anything, come off the field. And that could be, and I think usually would be, annoying for a coach who has come up from a different generation where you played through it. Mm-hmm. And he's got, you know, last week he's got 15 guys on the injury report. Who knows from Curtis Samuel? You know, who knows from some of these guys? Like, could they play? I mean, regular season, they probably do. But these days, you know, we're going to play it safe. And now he's got Bishop. And there's that word again, consistency. He hasn't had enough of him on the field to really know what he's got. And I think that might be all he's saying today.
Mm-hmm.
Is he just has not been on the field enough for me to feel... Just like there's no reason to read into it. He told you his thought. Like,
he doesn't know what the guy can do yet.
I don't know what we've got.
He's been here. It's a second season. He's starting with this guy on the team, and he doesn't know what he can do yet.
I don't know what we've got.
That
injuries are a part of it.
All right, good job.
So all those things together, maybe this is the result where he's just going to be more forthcoming. And I think injuries are the common thread.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's consistency or, you know, last week's source of frustration, it's really kind of all tracing back to that. Let's go to Mike here. Hi, Mike.
How you doing, guys? Quick thing, and like yet again, here we go, another off season of us discussing one of Bean's top two draft picks, whether he can play or whether he's this or that. I feel like it's becoming a yearly thing now with Kincaid or Elam or Coleman. And maybe it's just time that he just can't evaluate talent in the first two rounds. I mean, and then you can say he does hit, because not every person's team is going to hit. But it seems like more or less, even A.J. Epenesa, I mean, I don't know, he's a B player, C player. There hasn't been any many hits in the first two rounds other than Allen and, you know, Deion Dawkins and things like along those people. But in the past few years, every offseason on this time, we're having the same discussion about, is this player good enough? Is this player good enough? Well, does McDermott trust him or this or that? Why? No, I feel like we have this another conversation with no one else about this.
I'm not going to pick at that commentary, but always with the draft, the conclusions a lot of us are in a hurry to make when it's just so few players or examples. Was he great at it? Then he's bad at it? Or was maybe he like almost every other GM in history, apart from the truly terrible ones, where like Mike Mayock or somebody... Like the vast majority of these guys are kind of all the same. They have the same staff of people, the same information, and, you know, it's not all that, but I just never think that even that many players is enough to draw some conclusion about it. And we're talking about Bishop now before the second season of his career has even started, and he's hurt.
Right. He did just return to practice on Friday against the Bears and then looked bad in the game. So, you know, I think it's fair to point that out amidst these struggles. But the coach, again, doesn't feel compelled to share that today when he's talking about his however his frustration with the situation is coming out. I mean, he's telling you today they're not sure who's going to be lined up there on opening night. And so, you know, as much as I even want to try to temper, you know, what – the criticism on Bishop from Sunday night with he just returned to practice, McDermott's not tempering anything, you know? So I don't know. The analysis, it's another high pick, yeah, but you're ignoring – who are you ignoring? Guys who got second contracts that were also first or second picks, Oliver, Rousseau, Osiris Torrance. So, you know, it's not like he can't find guys. It's just, you know, it's a guy they're counting on. And they've had a luxury, like you said in the first segment, of that being locked down prior to last year. And now they're really kind of scrambling.
Bishop picked 60 last year. I mean, this is late round two. Previous year, late round two was Torrance. We like Torrance?
Torrance is excellent.
Previous year, it's James Cook.
Right, Cook was another one. I'm sorry, I missed him. Right.
Pick 63.
Yeah.
So because Bishop hasn't done more yet, we're going to lump him in with Kyrie Elam. Even Coleman is kind of, it's early to talk like that, I think. I'm not a huge fan. But
I'm bullish on Coleman for this year. I like him a lot.
That's because you're a fantasy hound.
Yes, I can't get enough.
You gotta have those 40 catches.
I keep getting him at the turn.
That's funny.
I couldn't put a round on it because I was going to guess and it would have been probably way off.
Oh, the turn. Love the turn.
Where 8-9
yeah,
turn?
Yeah. All right. That's really exactly right. Yep. 9, 10, 11, even sometimes. The turn.
Yeah.
Here's Steven next. Hi, Steven.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Hi.
Hey, couple of things real quick. So, first of all, the safety situation is a big concern for sure. Rapp's still injured. Hopefully he'll be ready by the first game. And then, DeMar, I know he started last year next to Rapp, but he just doesn't look as good as he should he's getting paid, $2 million a year, I think. So, and with the other, the other guys in question for the safety situation, that is a big concern on the defense. Now, on the offensive side of the ball, I'd like you to address this. What I've been hearing is that the Bills, okay, you may have addressed this because I just tuned in a little while ago. The Bills are talking to Gabe Davis. Now, if that's the case, I'm looking at the fact that, okay, Josh Palmer, he looks very promising. He looks great. Elijah Moore looks really lackluster thus far. And then you got Curtis Samuel's injured. You got Shakir still dealing with the upper ankle injury. Keon Coleman looks really good too, but let's face it, we need more depth at our receiving core. So do you think that the Bills are talking to Gabe Davis to possibly bring him on board?
Yes. Would there be another reason to do it?
No, I'd absolutely look at it as the reason why they would want to do that. He's already got rapport with Josh.
I can't imagine there's any reason to have a meeting with Gabe Davis if you didn't want to consider having him on your team. I doubt it's for nostalgia.
I doubt it's for nostalgia, but teams, I think, sometimes will bring guys in and make it known that they're seeing him to just sort of help the process along for the guy. That could be it. But the way that McDermott's talking, I mean, we haven't even talked about what he said about receiver today, which was also somewhat as pointed as what he said about safety. Like, we know who the top three are. The rest of it is we got a bunch of guys, and I don't know who's going to be on the team at this point. So the Davis thing could be for later down the road, too, if he's had health problems. Let's just see where he's at. Is he healthy? And if we get to a point where we feel we need him, at least we know what he is, what kind of condition he's in. So, I don't know. I didn't take it as, that, they're going to bring him in here and sign him tomorrow. They could, I suppose. I mean, I don't, it's not laughable that they would do that, but I'm not expecting it. I guess I would be surprised if he ended up on the roster this quickly. I think it's more like, let's just keep up on how he's doing. And if we get in a situation where we need a guy and he's still available, we know where he's at.
Okay. Be hard to know the difference if they don't do it. Well, I mean, it's be hard to know the difference if they don't sign it between that and, he didn't pass his physical with Jacksonville. It's just not there.
Right.
But if Allen wants him, I think he'll be a Bill. Feel like it'll be up to him.
Yeah.
Is that obnoxious to say? It always feels obnoxious to say, but I have to admit that's how I feel sometimes when it comes to the receivers. He got who we wanted in the draft a couple times. Davis was a really good Bill. He did a lot. It's Twitter, but Twitter always reads to me like everybody just decided they hated him around here, and I don't get it. He wasn't perfect. Fourth round pick. Man, he had some huge moments for this team. He was important. He was important.
Yeah, I'm not against – if he's healthy, I don't have a problem putting him on my team, I don't think. But who am I putting him on the team in place of?
Yeah, right.
Right? Like, if he's got health problems and I'm soured on Curtis Samuel because of health problems, what am I doing? You know, but my biggest issue with Gabe Davis was always I was not going to want to pay him what he was going to get for a second contract,
right,
for what he is as a player. And that's over.
Like, no argument with that.
You don't have to worry about that anymore because you're going to get him at – he's getting paid a ton of money from Jacksonville still this year. So he's veteran minimum if you sign him. So money's not an object there. It's more, you know, how much do you trust him to be healthy? Because really, when he started maybe going the wrong way with the fans here, it was health was maybe what the biggest problem was for him.
Mm-hmm. Sal Capaccio coming up at 4. Thanks for your calls. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.